పతితానాం పావనేభ్యో వైష్ణవేభ్యో నమో నమః. శ్రీ కృష్ణ చైతన్య ప్రభు నిత్యానంద శ్రీ అద్వైత గదాధర భక్తవృంద, హరే కృష్ణ 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 హరే హరే, హరే రామ 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 హరే హరే. తమ ప్రేమ గురు నిమక్షతి ఆగమ స్పృశ ం నమ భగవతే వాసుదేవాయ. Canto 4, Chapter 24 of Srimad Bhagavatam, chanting this song sung by Lord Shiva, text 75. Shreyasam iha sarvesham,
Shreyasam iha sarvesham,
Shreyasam iha sarvesham,
Shreyasam iha sarvesham,
Jnanam nishreyasam param,
Jnanam nishreyasam param,
Jnanam nishreyasam param,
Jnanam nishreyasam param,
Sukham tarati dusparam,
Sukham tarati dusparam,
Sukham tarati dusparam,
Sukham tarati dusparam,
Jnananau vyasanarnavam,
Jnananau
vyasanarnavam,
Jnananau vyasanarnavam,
Shreyasam iha sarvesham,
Shreyasam iha sarvesham,
Jnanam nishreyasam param,
Jnanam nishreyasam param,
Sukham tarati dusparam,
Sukham tarati dusparam,
Jnananau vyasanarnavam,
Jnananau vyasanarnavam,
Shreyasam,
Shreyasam,
of all benedictions,
of all benedictions,
iha,
iha,
in this world,
in this world,
sarvesham,
sarvesham,
of every person,
of every person,
jnanam,
jnanam,
knowledge,
knowledge,
nishreyasam,
nishreyasam,
the supreme benefit,
the supreme benefit,
param,
param,
transcendental,
transcendental,
sukham,
sukham,
happiness,
happiness,
tarati,
tarati,
crosses over,
crosses over,
dusparam,
dusparam,
insurmountable,
insurmountable,
jnana,
jnana,
knowledge,
knowledge,
now,
now,
both,
both,
vyasana,
vyasana,
danger,
danger,
arnavam,
arnavam,
the ocean,
the ocean.
Translation prepared by the Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. In this material world, there are different types of achievements, but all of them, of all of them, the achievement of knowledge is considered to be the highest, because one can cross the ocean of nescience only on the boat of knowledge. Otherwise, the ocean is impassable. Herbert, actually, everyone is suffering within this material world due to ignorance. Every day, we see that a person without knowledge commits some criminal act and is later arrested and punished, despite the fact that he actually may not have been conscious of his sinful activity. Such ignorance prevails throughout the world. People do not consider how they are risking their lives in an attempt to have illicit sex life, kill animals, to satisfy their tongue, enjoy intoxication, and gamble. It is very regrettable that the leaders of the world do not know of the effects of these sinful activities. They are instead taking things very easily and are succeeding in making the ocean of nescience wider and wider. Opposed to such ignorance, full knowledge is the greatest achievement within this material world. We can practically see that one who has sufficient knowledge is saved from many dangerous pitfalls in life. As stated in Bhagavad Gita 7.19, Bahunam Janmanam Ante Jnanavan Mam Apajate. When one actually becomes wise, he surrenders unto the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Vasudeva Sarvam Iti Samahatma Sudurlava. Such a great soul is very rare to be found. This Krishna consciousness movement is determined to open wide the eyes of the so-called leaders who are full of ignorance and thus save them from the many pitfalls and dangerous conditions of life. The greatest danger is the danger of getting a body lower than that of a human being. It was with great difficulty that we attained this human form of life just to take advantage of this body and re-establish our relationship with the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Govinda. Lord Shiva advises, however, that those who take advantage of these prayers will very soon become devotees of Lord Vasudeva and thus will be able to cross the ocean of nescience and make life perfect. Shodho Bhada Kiryaya. Shayasam Iha Sarvesham Jnanam Nishayasam Param Sukham Tarati Dusparam Jnanam Naodhyasanam. In this material world, there are different types of achievement, but of all of them, the achievement of knowledge is considered to be the highest, because one can cross the ocean of nescience only on the boat of knowledge. Otherwise, the ocean is impassable. So this is one of the concluding verses in which Lord Shiva glorifies the process of devotional service, which starts with transcendental knowledge. And of course in Bhagavad Gita, Lord Krishna also says that transcendental knowledge is the topmost knowledge. And so this verse says, Shreyasam Iha Sarvesham Jnanam Nishreyasam Param, that of everything which is Shreya, which is auspicious, the most auspicious thing is transcendental knowledge. And it's not theoretical knowledge, because theoretical knowledge has no use. I mean, people can know so many things. Like Prabhupada was telling this story about the boatman and scientist, right, who was crossing the river by boat, and he was challenging the boatman, "Do you know geography? You know that there are many other countries besides this country, you know other places besides your village." And boatman was saying, "No, I never left my village, so I don't know any geography." And scientist was saying, "Oh, then 25% of your life is wasted." And then he would say something like, "Do you know for example astronomy? You know that there are many stars and galaxies." And Bolton was saying, "No, I never learned these things. I only take people across the river, and I chant Hare Krishna. So I'm quite happy with that. I never learned these things. And then scientists would say that yes, 50% of your life is wasted. And then it was going on like that, and then the wind started blowing and the boat started rocking, and it became very dangerous. And the boat, and the scientists started panicking and saying, what will happen to us? And the boatman said, most probably the boat will sink, and I hope, sir, you know how to swim. And the scientist said, well, we never learned that in university. And then the boatman said, and unfortunately, 100% of your life is wasted. So with all big knowledge, the most important thing is to know how to save yourself. That's the knowledge which is given in the scriptures. Because no matter what you know, no matter how smart you are, there is no way to protect yourself from death, old age, diseases, and next birth. Material knowledge does not give those advantages. And there was one man, very wealthy, and of course, to have a lot of wealth automatically means that one is very intelligent. Prabhupada was often quoting the Bengali proverb that, I can't remember Bengali, but the translation is that if you have intelligence, you will have money. Right? Anyone remembers the Bengali original? Anyway, there is such a proverb. And Prabhupada was telling one story that two men were arguing with each other, and one tells to the other, do you have any brain? And the other one said, just wait, I'll check in my pockets. And he said, what are you checking your pockets for? I'm asking, do you have any brain? And he said, well, everybody knows this proverb. If you have intelligence, you will have money. So I'm checking how much money I have. So that much intelligence, that much brain I have. And those people who have money, obviously they are very intelligent people. Right? It's widely noted that those who work when they sit down earn much more than those who work when they stand up. By standing. And so, many people work hard, but very few people work smart, and they can produce much better results, right? Because intelligence is the greatest faculty in human life. And so, obviously, those people who have a lot of money, their intelligence is very well developed. And this man was thinking that I don't want to get sick. And the cause of the disease is germs, bacteria, right? Pretty much every disease is caused by some bacteria. And so what he did, he made his residence and his office to be completely sterile. Actually, like in hospitals, they use special lamps which kill all the bacteria. So he made this kind of arrangement in his residence, and so he made sure that there are no bacteria at all. It was completely sterile. And so he was living like that without any disease. And we have a system in the body which counteracts attack of the bacteria and all other problems. Is called immune system. And because his immune system was completely idle for a long time, so it just stopped functioning. And then the very first germ, which by chance entered his body, killed him. So effectively, by trying to protect himself from all trouble, he got himself in the worst trouble. So that's the example that material knowledge is completely futile. It can never help us. And we can see that on any scale, trying to make adjustments with scientific knowledge, people actually create more troubles. It's like Prahlad Maharaj was saying that in the material world, disease is worse. I mean, medicine is worse than disease. So solutions are oftentimes worse than problems themselves. Because solutions, so-called solutions, they cause more problems. And so this is how my bewildering people. But spiritual knowledge provides ultimate solution. And therefore, spiritual knowledge is beneficial. Shaya sam. Shaya means benediction, as opposed to prayer. Prayer means self-gratification. And this is what Mahaprabhu says in the first verse of Shikshastaka. Shaya kairava chandrika vitaranam vidyava durjavanam. That chanting of the holy name produces auspiciousness and it is the life of transcendental knowledge. Vidya vatu ujivanam. So vidya means knowledge. Actually, it's very interesting how the word vidya is very similar to the word wisdom, right? And avidya means ignorance. Yeah, because transcendental knowledge is not theoretical, it's practical. And so, actually, it is wisdom, right? So whatever knowledge is spoken about in here is not just a bunch of theories. It's something which is tested and tried for thousands of years. And that's why the traditions stand the test of time. Right? How do you know if spiritual knowledge or spiritual tradition is true or not? Bhaktivinoda Thakur explains that there are many people who invent different paths of salvation or spiritual advancement. But because these paths, they have beginning, they also have ends in the material world. Something which started in the material world will also end in the material world. And so he says that those who follow these paths, they disappear together with the paths. So it's a very unfortunate situation. But yeah, there are very few people in this world who are fortunate enough to follow the true path. That's why it says that there are very few people who are wise, because most people are otherwise. And yeah, those who have the real knowledge, they're supposed to be taking care of those who don't. And because people are suffering due to ignorance, there is a lot of suffering in this world. And in one sense, because we follow Krishna conscious principles and lifestyle, we have protection from Krishna in so many ways. And For this reason, sometimes we can't even imagine how much people are suffering in this world. It's like, I remember I was doing one time book distribution, and one man, he bought a book and he wanted to ask me a few questions, and so he said, he was asking me, how did you go as Hare Krishna through the troublesome time we just went, and there was like very serious crisis in the country and people didn't even have enough food for themselves. And so he said, I lost a lot of weight, you know, like got really emaciated because we didn't have enough food to eat. And I was like listening to him, and I lived in the same city, and I couldn't figure out what he's talking about, which crisis. But then when I went back and I checked, and I actually learned that there was a serious recession in the place, and many people had problems, and we didn't even notice that. Sometimes my spiritual master speaks about Hare Krishna bubble. Devotees live in happy-go-lucky, Haribol. And there are so many problems happening around in the world. But because we are protected by the mercy of Guru and Krishna, we don't even notice what's happening. Right? But nevertheless, and of course it is very comfortable life. Krishna is feeding us, Krishna is protecting us, Krishna is taking care of us, Krishna is fulfilling our desires, and so we can chant, dance, and be happy. But actually, this knowledge was given to us so that we could help other people, right? And Prabhupada explains in a very interesting way that, as you see, this Krishna consciousness movement is determined to open wide the eyes of the so-called leaders who are full of ignorance, and thus save them from the many pitfalls and dangerous conditions of life. So leaders are very important, because everything depends on leaders. And so if leaders are in ignorance, then they create a lot of trouble for other people. And that's why we can see that Srila Prabhupada was so determined to contact leaders from the very beginning, since the time he was in India. And he made a lot of effort to connect with the top leadership in the country. Gandhi, he wrote letters to Gandhi, even actually predicting his untimely death. And unfortunately, Gandhi never responded to the letter, and he was assassinated. And he wrote letters to Nehru, and he met with other leaders, like he gave his books to Bahadur Lal Shastri, etc., etc. And it is very interesting that of all the countries in the world, he chose America to start his mission. And it's very interesting that he went to the country which is so far away from India, and that it took him more than a month of traveling to reach America. And when he reached America, and he had no idea what would be happening there, and when he went to Butler, and we know that he went through so many troubles trying to establish himself and get some support for his preaching. And after some initial difficulties, he got some interest from people, that some article was published about him in a local newspaper, and he was getting so many invitations. So there was a lot of interest and appreciation for him and Butler. But then we can see that he actually left Butler and went to New York. And this is completely counterintuitive, right? He went through so many troubles and nearly died on the way. And finally, he gets support and his mission starts flourishing. And then he drops it all. And he goes to New York. Why? Because he didn't risk his life for the sake of saving Butler. Who would ever even know about Butler if Prabhupada would not leave there? Right? He went for the whole world, and he knew that probably the most influential city, well, the most influential country is definitely U.S., and the most influential city in the U.S. is definitely New York. And that's why he went to New York, because he wanted to connect with people of influence, because he knew that they can make very serious difference. And it's interesting that in New York, he didn't settle in Bronx or Queens or some other area. He went to the most expensive one, which was Manhattan, even though he could never afford it. But it's interesting that he found an option. Bowery, even today, it's much cheaper area, even though it is Manhattan, outskirts of Manhattan, but it's kind of low-cost area. So he stayed there, unfortunately surrounded by some bums and drug addicts and drunkards. That was the reason why this area was so cheap, right? Because it was not a very good neighborhood. But still it was Manhattan. And Prabhupada was determined to be in Manhattan. And as soon as he got the opportunity, he moved to the better area, which was Lower East Side. And in one letter he writes very clearly, he says that now we've got a center at Lower East Side, and it is very close, actually it's walking distance, it is very close to the UN headquarters. And he said, we're planning to work with the United Nations and use them for propagating Krishna consciousness. Right? So Prabhupada's thinking was big, it was global, as we mentioned. And why? He wanted to connect with leaders, because he knew that leaders can make immediate difference. And so, yeah, the question might be how to open wide the eyes of the leaders, right? Normally people opening their wise eyes when they see something, you know, either very scary or very shocking. So doesn't mean that we should scare them or shock them. No, this is not what it means. Opening someone's eyes wide means that we need to provide them with transcendental knowledge. And it's pretty hard thing to do, because they're busy with their lives, and it's very difficult to provide them with transcendental knowledge, because they don't even have time to listen to what we have to say, or for example read Prabhupada's books. And so what is the only option? That is to develop our relationship with them, right? Because through association only through association we can influence someone. And that's why Prabhupada was spending so much time and was making so much effort to associate with these influential people. And every time he would come to a new place, and those who have experience of Srila Prabhupada in Melbourne here also know that he was very insistent that he wants to meet with influential people, with leaders. And pretty much everywhere devotees were organizing these kind of meetings, because he knew that if these people are influenced in any way, then they can do a lot for the advancement of Krishna consciousness and God consciousness. And actually, one devotee, he works with the United Nations, and he meets very influential people. And he told me a very interesting thing, that he keeps meeting people, older people, who actually met Srila Prabhupada directly. And Srila Prabhupada influenced them to institute certain changes. Very interestingly, Srila Prabhupada was not insisting that they take up full Krishna consciousness. He was seeing what are they doing and what their interests are, and he would give them some part of the mission, of his mission, which would be relevant to them. He would inspire them to do something. And these people, at least some of them, took it very seriously. And actually many positive changes in the world are due to the fact that these people, they took Prabhupada's message seriously, and they have done something about it. And so we can understand that this was Srila Prabhupada's strategy. And therefore it is very important to work with leaders. And of course it might not happen overnight, that they will suddenly become free from ignorance. But nevertheless, if we develop a relationship with them, then they can very easily help us to achieve the goals we can never be able to achieve on our own. And I had personal experience when I was managing one place in Russia, and it was obvious that this aspect of preaching has very high importance. And we connected with the assistant mayor, and we would invite him to all the big functions, etc., and give him some gifts, etc., and try to develop our relationship with him. And it worked out to our advantage, of course, because every time we needed something from the council, like permission for festival, ratiyat, for this and that, we could just go to him and he would grant that. He said, okay, I'll support you. And then at one point, when we have done some work on the mission of ISKCON, of course, seven purposes of ISKCON are very powerful, and I took one course, which was Seven Habits course, based on Stephen Covey's training, and that was very powerful. Some senior devotees conducted that. And one thing which was suggested, in order to make organization very powerful, it's really important to help every single member of organization to wholeheartedly share the mission of the organization. And that's why mission of the organization should be supported by personal mission statements of each member. And there are organizations like that, and they achieve a lot of success. So I thought, let us do it, and then we have spent time with all the leading devotees discussing seven purposes. So that's global mission for entire ISKCON. So how that translates for us locally here, how the mission for our community should look like. So we discussed and we came up with customized mission based on seven purposes of ISKCON. And then devotees individually started putting together their personal missions in line with the local mission, which is in line with global mission. This is what it means. Think globally, act locally. Right? So that's the success formula. And actually we came up with that mission and it looked very impressive. So I've decided to test drive it and see how it would work. And then we went to this assistant mayor to meet him. And I just wanted to get his feedback on our mission, what he thinks about it. And when he came to him, because we would always come to ask for something, right? And he was already so accustomed to it, immediately he said, okay, what can I do for you? And I told him, actually, you know, we don't need anything for our service. We can take care of ourselves very nicely, but actually our purpose is to do something for the city. And you're the man who knows what needs to be done and how things should be done. And so we want your advice and guidance on how could we be more effective in our work. I actually told him that it's not that you should be doing things for us. We want to help you in your work. And he was like a little confused. He said, how do you want to help me? And I said, whatever problems you have, let us help you. And he laughed. He said, okay, you know, I have a lot of rubbish, so you want to clean the rubbish or what? And I said, we could do anything, but if you want us to be most effective, better to engage us according to our profile. And he said, what's your profile? And then I pulled out our mission. I said, this is what we're doing. So do you think we could be engaged according to these points? And when he read that, actually his face changed. He said, what, you want me to become a Hare Krishna? I said, no, that soon. Not too soon. But we just want your advice. How do you think we can be effective? And then the amazing thing started happening. He started saying that, okay, you have something about conducting festivals here, and actually I've been to your festivals and you create amazing atmosphere with your festivals. Very personal atmosphere and very joyful atmosphere. And we have our celebrations, official celebrations, but they don't carry that atmosphere. So what I'm thinking, you have to take part in every city celebration. We'll give you some spot and we'll organize things for you. So we want you to be there to create nice atmosphere for all our festivals. And I said, okay, anything else? He said, yes, and your food is really nice. But not many people know how to prepare such food. So I think we want to put you on one of the local TV channels so that you would teach all people how to prepare the kind of food you have. Run cooking courses on the TV. And I was thinking, this is amazing. If we would ask for something like that, we would never offer. But this is what Henry Ford used to say, that ask for help, get advice. Ask for advice, get help. Right? Or he was speaking about money. Ask for money, get advice. Ask for advice, get money. And so, yeah, we were asking for his advice, and then he was started coming up with so many valuable things. And then he also said, your books are very important. I've read some of your books, and they have very deep knowledge. But not everyone can afford your books. Not everyone can pay. So we should think of the ways how to sponsor your books so that they would be available to anyone, even those who cannot pay for them. I was thinking, that's mind-blowing. And then actually, we started working with him. And the first thing was that he invited us to become a very prominent part, actually, of the CT Day celebration. And yeah, we were on the central stage and doing our performances. And so many people were around the stage. And it was interesting that our stage attracted majority of the people who were there. And then, you know, so many other things were happening. And then towards the evening, officially it was all over. Everything was winding down. But many people were still there at the city square. And we were thinking, okay, let us do Harinam, just to, you know, give people some extra benefit. So we were doing Harinam, and pretty much all the people who were still in the square, they surrounded us. And we've done Harinam for an hour, maybe until 9:30 or 10 o'clock or something like that. And then we thought, okay, that's good enough. We gave these people holy name, now we can go home. And we said, thank you, so we'll see you next time. And the people said, no, we don't want you to go. Actually, your participation is the only thing which really, you know, makes us happy. Everything else is so boring. So keep chanting. I said, okay. The one condition, if you want us to keep chanting, you have to chant with us. And they said, how can we chant if we don't even know the words? I said, okay, let's learn the words. So very, very quickly, I taught them Hare Krishna mantra. And there were like around 1,000 people standing there. And 1,000 people started chanting Hare Krishna. That was a really powerful experience. 1,000 people who never chanted started chanting Hare Krishna at once. And then that was pretty ecstatic, so we've done another maybe half an hour or whatever, Harinam. And then we thought, okay, that's good enough, so we can go home. And people said, no, carry on. We really enjoy it. And then I said, okay, we will chant more if you not only chant, but also dance with us. And people said, okay, we'll do that. And so 1,000 people started not only chanting, but also dancing with her. That was even more exciting. And so another hour went by. And by the time, we were pretty exhausted, to be honest. Yeah, and it was like close to midnight. And I said, thank you all very much. And so now we really have to go back to our ashram because, you know, we are following very strict schedule. We have to rise very early in the morning, so we have to go and take rest now. And it was so funny. One young lady, she said, Wherever you go, we'll go with you. And I was thinking, well, this is a joke. And I said, okay, you can follow us if you want. We are going home. And then we turned around and with Harinam party we started going. And I thought they will all stay at the city square. But when I turned back, I saw that all 1,000 people actually started following us. And believe it or not, we had to run to escape from them. And I was thinking, this is the difference which is coming when something is supported by influential people. Then people really trust and they accept very easily. You know, if it is endorsed by powerful people. For example, you can just imagine, you know, we might make so much effort trying to encourage people to take up to Krishna consciousness, this and that, but just imagine that the Prime Minister of Australia comes on a TV channel and just says, Hare Krishna. How, you know, how much result that will produce. So Prabhupada knew that very well, and that's why he was making so much effort to influence powerful people with Krishna consciousness. And anywhere in the world, wherever devotees make that effort, it actually does happen. We get the support, it produces very powerful effects. And that's why he's writing about it in pretty much all his books. Importance of leadership and the need to help them to develop spiritual knowledge and act upon spiritual knowledge. Because otherwise the whole society will continue suffering because of their ignorance. All right, Hare Krishna. Any questions, comments, complaints, suggestions? Yes?
One comment, Maharaj. When you were telling about New York, how people go distributed. The people, Brahmanam, Sasarup Swami, Goswami, and Mukul Maya, they did great of help. Lot of help in the Prabhupada, in spreading the movement in New York.
Yes.
And at one time, what happened, Prabhupada was invited for a banana party. So they were burning the bananas, and they were making a lot of smoke. And then ultimately they said, if you give us, we will give one case of banana every day if you can give us the field of banana. So we can use that for smoke. Mm. You know this thing?
I haven't heard about this case, but yeah, Prabhupada was
offered a case of banana every day if the peeling of banana can be given to them back.
Yeah.
But they wanted to produce smoke and
intoxicate. Yeah. Prabhupada was very interested in working together with influential people. Actually, if you read Prabhupada's Lilamrita, you know how Prabhupada actually got an engagement with the United Nations. And you know, because some of you might wonder, if Prabhupada was so eager about it, why it didn't happen so much, right? Because there are very, very few instances we hear about collaboration with officials, which was obviously Prabhupada's desire. And he writes about it in many places, and he even cites the example of Maharaj Ashok, how with the support of Maharaj Ashok, Buddhism was spread, and then he says, without the support of powerful leaders, no doctrine or philosophy or religious principles can ever be spread in the world. And then he actually went ahead, he got the invitation from United Nations. They have this World Peace Day, 21st of June, I think it is, and they traditionally hold peace vigil at the headquarters of the United Nations, and Prabhupada was invited for that. And so he came with his disciples, and they came and they started doing kirtan for the world's peace. But the organizer came and he said, please don't chant, because if everyone will start praying like that loudly, then it will be very disorganized. So that's why better do it silently, make a silent prayer for peace. And Prabhupada actually said, okay. And he stopped kirtan and he told all the devotees, take your japa beads and let's silently chant, sit down and chant japa in here. And they were all sitting and chanting japa. And the organizer was very impressed. You know, that Hare Krishnas do collective meditation for peace. And then he said, Swamiji, let's discuss further how we can work together. And Prabhupada was very excited and he invited him for lunch to 26 Second Avenue. And there were very few devotees back then with him, and because most were working, and it was only Kirtanananda who was staying with Srila Prabhupada. So Prabhupada was cooking a big feast for this man with Kirtanananda. And there was one other young devotee, I think his name was Bhakta Stan, Stanley or something. And then he told him, stay down and wait for this VIP man to come, and don't let anyone else to come, because we are waiting for him, so we are preparing a feast for him, so don't let anyone else to come. But devotees knew that this Bhakta, you know, he's a little bit crazy. But there was no other option. There was nobody else. And so apparently Prabhupada was hoping that such a simple task he will manage. And when this man came and he said, Swamiji is waiting for me, and this Bhakta said, no, Srila Prabhupada said, I should not allow anyone in. He is busy. And then the man said, I can wait. And he said, yeah, you can wait. But he said, can you report to Swamiji that I am here? And this Bhakta said, no, that this instruction I never got to report. So I'll have to stay here. And then he said, but Swamiji is waiting for me. And he said, I cannot help you. And actually he prevented this man from going. And he became very upset and he left. And after he left, Prabhupada came down and said, what happened? We are waiting for this man. Where is he? And that Bhakta kept quiet. And he said, anyone came at all? And he said, yeah, one man came and he was very insistent that he wanted to see you. But I never let him come. And Prabhupada said, how this man looked like? And then after he heard the description, he said, this is the exact VIP guest we were looking for. How did you turn him away? And Prabhupada became, of course, very upset. But there were a number of cases like that. And so apparently Prabhupada dropped that plan because he knew that the kind of people around him would not really be able to work with people of influence. They would just, you know, create very bad image for our society. But of course now, a few years later, the situation is totally different, and we have many very intelligent and highly professional and very organized devotees in the movement who can work with influential people on any level. And so my conviction is that yes, we need to fulfill Prabhupada's desire and ambition, which is expressed very nicely in the purposes of ISKCON, starting with the first one. Anyone else? Yes?
Every religion has this knowledge of transcendental knowledge. Why Hare Krishna is different from every other religion? So any other religion practices also the
yes.
And they have knowledge?
Yes. Every religious tradition has certain knowledge, and this knowledge is on different levels. Like you have primary, secondary, and high education, right? And so everything is important, but if you get high education, highest education, of course you get the top benefit. And so some religious tradition only give knowledge. Actually, many religious traditions only give knowledge to help people to come up to the mode of goodness, right? Just become pious, develop mundane piety. That's not topmost perfection, but it is better than nothing, right? Something is better than nothing, as Prabhupada said. Other religions, they give knowledge which helps people to achieve liberation. So, liberation is good, but if you don't know what to do with the liberation, then it's also imperfect, right? Like, if you're liberated from jail, but you don't know what to do with your freedom, then actually it's been the case many times that people who stay in jail for a long time and then they get liberated, they get free from the jail, but they don't know what to do with their life because, you know, it's like they have to suddenly take responsibility for their own lives, and that's something they're not really accustomed to, because in jail it's all regulated, right? They just have to do what they are told to do, right? And so they used to it and they are provided with everything, right? And so they get so used to it that they actually commit another crime to go back to their familiar environment, to go back to jail like that. So we can understand that just liberation, and that's why Shastra says that those who are getting liberated in Brahman, eventually patantyado, nadritam yushmadangre, they fall back again into the material world because they don't have shelter at the lotus feet of the Lord. And so, yes, knowledge of liberation is not enough. So that's why you need full transcendental knowledge, which is developing our relationship with the Supreme Lord through the devotional service to Him. And that's why the topmost spiritual knowledge, which is complete, is the one Krishna consciousness is giving. Because other solutions, they're like, you know, band-aid solutions pretty much. Which is also okay, you also need band-aid, but it's not, or painkiller, right? These things are required, but this is not something which will provide real solution. And that's why we are not against other religious traditions. They do provide solutions to a certain level, but the best solution is to become Krishna conscious, or at least God conscious. Yes? Hare Krishna.
I had a commission 50 years later with our Hare Krishna devotee running for the U.S. president, Tulsi Gabbard.
Yes, that's quite an inspiring news. And you can see that even in the world, leadership, governance, things do change. There is another lady who is running for presidentship, and I think she is vegan and also quite spiritual, so things are changing for better gradually. Yes?
Thank you for the question. You were saying about the Hare Krishna bubbles and the comforts we have. And sometimes, like, you know, we too into our comforts and we don't want to, you know, take a little bit of risk, reach out to people, you know, like, especially home setup and inside programs and stuff. So, because you travel all over the world, so have you, like, I just want to ask, is there any example around the world that whole congregation focus on reaching out or, you know, taking to the people, like, you know, like we go out and we see how much people appreciate when we actually present like our books, Harinam, you know, these kind of things. So for us to inspire all of us in our congregation, especially.
Well, it's very common problem, comfort zone, and that's why, yeah, because you know, the risk or the fear of the unknown is a very strong factor, and that's why His Holiness Kadambakanda Maharaj recommended that there are three zones. One is comfort zone, the other one is stretch zone, and the third one is panic zone. And so nobody wants to go from comfort zone into panic zone, but he suggests that at least we should go to the stretch zone, at least start doing something outside of our comfort zone, because otherwise, you know, if we just stay in the comfort zone, we don't really grow and we do degrade. And yeah, there are communities who are trying to reach out and present Krishna consciousness in novel ways, innovation. Prabhupada was also saying about this in Bhagavatam, that devotees are very expert in discovering the noble ways. Because Prabhupada showed us this example. He innovated, and that's why he achieved success. Without innovation, if it's same old, nothing changes, then there is no growth. Right? So Prabhupada presented so many novel ideas how to connect with people and how to work together with them. And yeah, I mean, the only community which I can see is very, yeah, taking full advantage of innovations is Radhanath Swami's community in Chaupati. And now they do it all over the world, of course. We can see Gopal Prabhu. Yeah, it's like the only, actually I met with him last time I went to Chaupati, because we know each other since a long time. And historically, he is the only devotee who actually entered Arab Emirates without changing his clothes, without removing his tilak. He went as he was, you know, because the royal family invited him for launching his new book of wisdom, right? And so in Russia, of course, devotees have to innovate because there are so many restrictions in directly presenting Krishna consciousness. Actually, those who heard about Russian development, you would probably know that Russia is the fastest growing in terms of Krishna consciousness, second after India, right? And there is no Indian community in Russia. There are only Russians who become devotees. And why do they become devotees? And even in other countries, many devotees are noticing that there are so many Russians, they take interest in Krishna consciousness. And one devotee said, Russians are like white Hindus or something. Very easily they take after Krishna consciousness. But there is a serious reason why it is happening. And it is because devotees actually started propagating spiritual knowledge on a very wide scale. And they do it in a very practical way. And they present this knowledge in the form of Vedic psychology, or those who want to have even wider audience, they present it as Eastern psychology, because they also use some parts of Buddhist knowledge and other knowledge, Sufi knowledge and all these things. But they make people interested in spiritual knowledge, and through that they have the whole group of devotees. They call themselves psychology of the third millennium, and they attract a lot of people to Krishna consciousness by presenting them with personal development courses. And of course, personal development is something many people are interested in. And through that, they attract not only a lot of people, but a lot of professional people who can take serious responsibility and who themselves have good influence in the society. And so, there are many initiatives like that around the world, innovative initiatives which produce very powerful results. This is why we're encouraging devotees in this way, and we run this school in Mayapur, Innovative Development, to empower authentic leaders, which the acronym is IDEAL. So, yes, there are many bright spots, many good examples, how Krishna consciousness becomes relevant and widely accepted by thoughtful people. But that is happening through professional approach. Psychology, it can be psychology, it can be yoga, it can be Ayurveda, it can be Vastu, education, training, all these things. Cultural programs also very well accepted. So whatever we do, if we do it in a highly professional way, that will attract professional people to Krishna consciousness. Hare Krishna. Alright, so thank you all very much. We'll stop here. Grantarat Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai, Sura Prabhupada Ki Jai, Hidayi Gopinanda.